So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, let's read responsively. I'll read verse 10. If you would please join me on verse 11 and every other verse down through the end of the chapter here tonight, Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands up to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Bless it now as we study it together. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
It has certainly been an amazing study in my own estimation. Last week was Who Can Find a Virtuous Woman, Part 1, and tonight is Who Can Find a Virtuous Woman, Part 2. Notice that little phrase, the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Solomon, herein called King Lemuel, relates to his son, Rehoboam, his mother's teaching concerning the virtuous woman. And of course, we know that Solomon was exposed to an awful lot of women. We know that he had a number of wives and a number of concubines. And Bathsheba, of course, is the one who, this is her teaching. It's amazing the teaching that she gave. And Bathsheba, I believe, knew what it meant to be an unvirtuous woman. And I'm never too hard on her because nobody can really say what she was or was not. But like I said in our last study, there just seemed to be a little or no resistance to King David's advances before he had her husband Uriah murdered. And so what we'll find out when we get to heaven, all that was. And the truth of the matter is, if the king commanded it, it had to be done. So maybe she was just obedient, but I don't know. I can't say that with total confidence, but I can believe what it says. And so, as I mentioned last time, perhaps her teachings in Proverbs chapter 31 were born out of learning her lessons the hard way. I don't know. That's a perhaps. Either way, her writings are the inspired words of God and still good for us today, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have to keep that in mind. Even though she penned it, it was inspired of God and preserved for us today. As I mentioned the last time, there are no commands found in Proverbs 31. We've got to remember that. Not one. There's examples that are given, but there are no commands that are given. And often women are admonished to follow the teachings of Proverbs 31 and become what they call a Proverbs 31 woman. And by the way, it's a wonderful admonition. I don't have a problem with the admonition. There's so many good things that are mentioned in Proverbs 31. Not a problem at all. And honestly, God gave no commands for this in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. The verses describe what a virtuous woman truly is, and it gives a number of her practices and things that she does. We found that the word virtuous is descriptive of a particular strength in this particular place in the Word of God. And in this particular sense, it is my belief that the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 is not so much the ideal woman as much as she is a woman of great value because of her strength and ability to make and save money with her for her family. And as I said to you, I've got a book in my office that I studied years and years ago about this word. The word virtue and virtuous is used throughout the Bible. And I'm going to give you those different places in just a moment. There's only one place this particular word for virtuous is used, and it's here in Proverbs 31. It has to do with finances. Just one time, there. And it's amazing how the Lord chose that. And when you reread Proverbs 31, you find out that nearly every reference is to care of the family and taking care of a financial end and not overspending, and which is why her husband's heart could safely trust in her, you see. And it became obvious from even a casual study of Proverbs 31 that this woman is not so much an ideal Christian, but she's one who is a wise investor, not only of her time, but also of her life. Was her price far above rubies because of her Christian perfection? No. I believe chapter 31 of Proverbs gives hope to a lot of women who would never be able to attain to what so many would say is a virtuous woman. Maybe a pristine past, maybe a polished Christian life. Not every woman has had that. And there's a lot of, for many, there's a sordid past for some. And maybe they thought, oh, I could never be this kind of a woman because I can't be a Proverbs 31 woman because of the life that I've had and the experiences that I've done and all these different things. No, this Proverbs 31 woman was a frugal woman. And her husband, no matter what kind of woman she was before, her husband's heart can trust in her because she's not going to hurt him with her financial inability or lack of ability to be able to take care of the finances as she should. And in many homes today, there are overspenders, and I know this. I've experienced it in ministry here. Over the years, I've known some men who had wives who were heavy spenders, ones that were, they were addicted to online spending. That's something new for our generation, online spending. And or catalog spending, as one was confessed to me a number of years ago. Find something in a catalog. Find something online. Got to spend money on it. All these bills coming in for everything that they wanted to buy. And I've talked to their husbands and who have said, yep, that it makes it difficult for us financially, and how sad that is. One man in particular, a number of years ago, simply said to me, we can no longer tithe because of my wife's spending habits. And he said it to me straight to my face. He didn't bow his head and try not to tell me it was his wife. He simply looked straight at me and says, we can't tithe. We don't have the money because my wife is a big spender. And she was, apparently. And I did not know that personally, only through his testimony. Now, that brings us to the next phase of our study of the virtuous woman. Notice with me the following attributes of this dear woman, okay? I want you to see what she's like. And I'm glad that the Bible gives us this distinction. And if you're taking notes, I have this enumerated. So number one, notice her worth. Notice her worth. Proverbs 31 in verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And there have been many through the years that have questioned the value of a ruby over the value of a diamond. But I even looked it up to find out just how accurate the Bible was, and I didn't look in the Bible to find it. But did you know that high-quality rubies are often more expensive per carat than diamonds due to their extreme rarity? And so we're talking here about a rare woman. When we first came to this church, there was a ladies' group that was here. They were called the Rare Rubies. And it was a ladies' group, and they would have prayer meetings, and they would do different things for the local church here, but they were called the Rare Rubies. And I changed that name, but the truth of the matter is a ruby is very rare. It honestly is. It's a beautiful stone. It's a beautiful gem. And it says here that her price is far above rubies. So it means the most precious stone, a ruby, doesn't compare in its value to that of a virtuous woman. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are in her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And then chapter 31 and verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's quite a compliment that's given to this woman. She excelled all of them. And a ruby is more precious than a diamond. And in Proverbs chapter 31, this woman is not compared to a diamond. She's compared to a ruby. I think that's just amazing. You know, the Bible's very clear and the Bible's very accurate in everything. She is clothed not only with strength, but also with honor. That's some kind of clothing that a woman needs to wear, an honorable clothing. And not only that, but she has excelled all other women in this area. That's amazing. Now remember, there are no commands, but this is a description of this kind of woman, okay? Number two, notice her works, if you would please. Her works can be divided in Proverbs 31 into three categories, and I want you to see these very clearly. First of all, with her family. With her family. Notice the different things that are mentioned here about what she does with her family, the clothing. The Bible says in 31, verses 13 and 21, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And then verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of the snow. I was going to say, this woman doesn't live in Colorado. That's for sure. But she's not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. So first of all, clothing. And then food, notice this, with her family. The Bible says in 31 verses 14 and 15, she is like a merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she takes care of this. And then notice another category with her family here, talks about her labor. Chapter 31, verses 17, 18, and 19, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. So we have this description, but there's one other thing that's mentioned here about her family, and that is her home. Proverbs 31 and verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now down to verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So this is descriptive of her with her family, the different things that she does, the way that she practices her daily living. So not only with family, but I want you to notice with the finances, with the finances. First of all, the thing that's mentioned is property. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. Not only property, but also provision. Verse number 16, once again, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So property, provision, and abilities. Look what it says in verse number 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Remember, I told you that girdles in the Bible are talking about a belt that is worn around the lower part of the back and above the hips. And she would make those, and she would make those available. So, with her family, with her finances, and also with those who are less fortunate. That's a lot of F's there, if you notice that. And look at verse number 20, if you would, please. And I like this. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. And when the Bible talks about needy and talks about the poor, it's not talking about like we have here in Colorado Springs, these individuals who are fully healthy and can work and all the rest of it, who simply choose to be poor. And we used to have a man who attended our church. He lived in an apartment. I visited him in his apartment. He visited our church quite regularly. And then he got out of his apartment. He received a check from the government every single month. I think it was either $1,000 or $1,500. He would receive that money from the government. But he chose to live on the street. And he said that he could do better living on the street than he could living, you know, in a place. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. He chose to be homeless. And a number of the folks here in Colorado Springs, in Manitou Springs, not all of them, but a number of them could get out. They could get a job. They could do anything to make a little bit of money. But they would live It's amazing how many of them don't have money to buy food, but they got money to buy their pot. And Colorado Springs and Manitou Springs has made that very easy for them to do, I believe. And it's amazing to me, when it's talking about poor people in the Word of God, understand this, it's talking about people who are destitute, okay? It's talking about people who would have nothing. And so she stretched her hand out to those who had nothing. I remember a number of years ago, I did a study on the poor here in our church, and I was surprised to find that it didn't match really what goes on in our cities today on nearly every street corner, when you have people standing there with a sign that says, you know, anything will help. And I'm sure that's true, and I'm sure anything could help and all the rest of it. I do remember one guy says, don't need food, need money for pot. He wanted marijuana. That was down there at Interstate 25 and Cimarron Avenue. I never forget that. He was asking money for marijuana. And so we're not talking about those kind of folks. When she stretched her hand out to the poor, these were folks who were desperate, okay? You have to understand that. So first of all, I ask you to notice her worth, that her price was far above rubies. And secondly, to notice her works. And when she talked about her family and the clothing and food and labor and all the other things. And with the finances. And she was very frugal. She was a very frugal woman. With her prosperity and with the provision and with her abilities, she would do that. And of course, with the less fortunate, we're talking about those who were very poor, okay? Those who were destitute. And then I want you to notice number three, her wisdom. Notice her wisdom. This was not a flighty woman. This is a woman who had wisdom. And it says in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's an incredible statement. In her mouth is wisdom. She speaks wisely. The Word of God makes it clear that wisdom comes from above. James chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And I love that word pure. It's the same word that's used when Paul talked about, when the Bible talked about, Paul talked about his body. He says, there's nothing in me that is intrinsically pure. He said, everything in me is mixed. And the word pure here simply means not mixed with anything. Not the world's philosophy, not Little House on the Prairie or Touched with an Angel or any of these other programs that would promote a certain belief in God or whatever it might be. No, her wisdom was unmixed, you see. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the kind of wisdom that she had. The virtuous woman does not get her wisdom from the latest psychology book. She doesn't get it from the latest philosophy book. She doesn't get it from Dr. Phil. She doesn't get it from Oprah. She doesn't get it from any of these online psychologists or any of these TV doctors or any of the rest of them. She gets her wisdom from above. I'm not saying that some of these folks that I just mentioned a minute ago don't have some good things to say. I'm sure they do. But this woman's wisdom is unmixed, and I think that's an important thing to remember. It's not mixed with the things that I mentioned a moment ago. You see, interesting thing here, the virtuous woman knows the Word of God well enough to be able to open her mouth and have God's wisdom come out of it, you see. And today there are so many that have mixed teachings. They'll try to mix the Bible with maybe, God forbid, some Freudian philosophy and all the rest of it, rather than simply using the wisdom that is found in God's Word. If this Bible isn't enough, ladies and gentlemen, I need to quit the ministry and get me an honest job. This book right here has the answers. And it doesn't matter what the question is. And Brother Penn, that's not including the Pythagorean theory, just in case you're wondering, since we've had that conversation. And but the bottom line is the wisdom that you need is found in that book. The sorry part of it is that many of us do not know the Bible well enough to know the wisdom of God in a particular situation. And wisdom is something that is acute. It's something that is specific for a specific situation, unmixed, absolutely unmixed. And the fact that her tongue, this is interesting that wisdom and tongue are mentioned in the same sentence here, her mouth and her tongue. The fact that her tongue has the law of kindness in it proves that this woman is not only full of Bible, but also full of the Spirit. For kindness, don't miss this, kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The word gentleness and kindness are the same thing. There's not two different subjects. It's two different words, but it's the same subject. Where did she get her kindness from? Unkind people are not filled with the Spirit. Unkind people do not have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Unkind people know nothing about the kindness of God. But when the Spirit of God fills that individual, kindness is what comes out, you see. And so the same thing, genuine kindness, and you might want to remember this, genuine kindness is a product of the Spirit, capital S, in your lives. Next thing I want you to see, number four, is I want you to notice her witness. Notice her witness. It's threefold. Threefold witness that she has. Number one, to her husband. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, 11, and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Wow, what a witness that is. So that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a witness. Now go down to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates. That means that he was a leader of some kind. Being in the gates, he had to do with the city's government, is what it was, but it's talking about leadership. Remember, that's what Lot was. Lot sat in the gate, and that meant that he had leadership there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here, it's talking here in verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So her witness was to her husband. He was a leader. She made sure he didn't lose that office. First of all, to her husband, and secondly, to her children. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So there you have to her husband and to her children. She was a witness with her life and with her words, obviously. And then also to her friends. Look at this, verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Who's in the gates? Her husband. Her husband has leadership over people. So there we're talking about her lifestyle praised by her husband to people as he's a leader over them. So the question that I ask in this particular point is, how is your witness today? What does your husband, or what does your family, what does your wife think of your witness? And how about your children? What about your friends? What about your neighbors? Is there a witness there, you see? There has to be. And the only thing that you have is a testimony, and it's either good or bad. Nobody's neutral on a testimony. A friend, I like this, a friend is someone who knows all about you and loves you just the same. That's what a friend is. And so they love you in spite of your shortcomings. And my question is, what do your friends have to love you in spite of, you see? And I'm sure that I'm loved in spite of an awful lot of things in my life. Number five, and the last thing that I'll give you tonight. We've talked, first of all, about this woman's different aspects of her life. Now, we talked about her worth. It was greater than rubies, more precious than rubies. Noticed her works, her made clothing and food and labor and a home that she took care of, and her finances with property and provision and her abilities that she had, and she took care of poor people, all of that. We noticed her wisdom, and wisdom comes from above. And of course, the Bible is right, and let God be true and every man a liar, you see. And his wisdom comes from above. There's no wisdom down here that we can impart. And she had the wisdom from above. And of course, the Bible tells us that an amazing thing about her was she got her wisdom from above, and she had it from the Word of God. And my challenge, I guess, to all of us, men and women, wives, and everybody else, is that this book is our source of wisdom, you see. It's our source of wisdom. And then her witness talked about a witness to her husband, to her children, and to her friends, and she had a good, in other words, she had a good testimony. And that's a good thing. But lastly, we want to talk about her worship. Look at verse 30 with me tonight. Her worship. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Wow. Her worship. That's talking about her relationship with the Lord. Her fear of God was more than a reverential trust. And in most of our Bibles, in the center reference column, they will say that the fear of the Lord is a reverential trust. I'm still not sure I grasp that concept, just to be honest with you, okay? And I'm not a dummy, okay? I can study and I can read, but I just, for some reason, reverential trust doesn't say it. But the word fear in the Word of God is really amazing. The word comes from a root meaning which means to quake, literally to quake in the knees and to fear, to take God seriously at what God says. It means to respect one, not just a reverential trust. I was shocked a number of years ago when we did a study on the fear of the Lord. I remember Mike Thompson had asked me one time, he said, "Preacher, have you ever done a study on the fear of the Lord?" And up to that point, I hadn't done one on the fear of the Lord. And I did an entire study that we did on the fear of the Lord. I remember how shocked I was to find out that fear meant literally a quaking of the knees, like standing on a great precipice with jagged rocks below, afraid you might fall. See, is that what the fear of the Lord is? You take God seriously at His word. And I've given you this before, and just to throw it out to you again as a reminder, we, most of us, don't have the proper fear of the Lord. For example, Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death. That was not written to the lost, it was written to you and me." Because verse 22 talked about the fruit unto holiness. And then it says that the wages of sin is death. And it doesn't mean that you're going to die as soon as you sin. Adam and Eve didn't die as soon as they sinned. They died spiritually, but they didn't die physically till 900 years later, or however many years it was they died. Interesting thing about it was that when it says here the wages of sin is death, it says the paycheck for your choosing sin over righteousness is a life ruined one step at a time. That's what it draws a picture of. One puff at a time, one toke at a time, one drink at a time, one immoral relationship at a time, one unfaithfulness at a time. You start just one at a time. I passed out a picture that I gave to you on a Wednesday night. I guess it was last year. Might even be the year before that. I don't remember. But it was a picture of a man holding a bottle of booze in his hand, taking a drink out of it, and inside that bottle was a bobber with a line and a hook, meaning that you'll get hooked. You might enjoy the drink, and you might not get drunk the first time, but you'll get hooked before it's all said and done. See, we don't really believe, we don't really practice Romans 6:23. I'm not sure Christians believe that the wage of sin is death, but that's what the word fear means. It says, favor is beauty, is deceitful. Favor is beauty. Learn how to read, okay? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This virtuous woman was one who respected God, respected His word, and took God at His word, and took God's word seriously, you see. The virtuous woman's relationship with the Lord was a very serious one. That doesn't mean she walked around with her collar up going, "Holy, holy, holy." We're not talking about that. We've already seen what she practices. It just means she has a very sincere, very real relationship with her God. And we thank God for that. And so, she does not walk with God out of convenience. She walks with God out of conviction, you see. So how's your worship? I guess that's my last question. And I want to bring this to a close tonight. Last week, we learned that the virtuous woman was exalted above all other women, especially in the area of her financial integrity. And this week, we learn that the virtuous woman is a woman of great value and worth. Her good works are many. Her wisdom is kind. Her witness is unblemished. Her worship is sincere. And for a chapter with no commands, there's an awful lot of challenges in this entire challenge of this whole book. It's amazing. Not a single command, nothing. But I think something in many ways to personally apply and reach for, you see. The end result of living this kind of a virtuous life is twofold. And you have your Bible there. Let me show you this. Proverbs 31:28-31. Her children arise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, a beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She will be called blessed by her children. She will be praised by her husband. And by the way, praise from others is insignificant compared to the praise of your husband and children. Praise beyond the four walls of your home pales in significance when compared to the praise within your home. And the Lord gives us that here. You say, Pastor, that's an impossible chapter to live up to. Well, it's kind of like the fellow that had his gun out one night and was shooting at the moon. Guy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. He said, you'll never hit it. He said, well, I'll get closer than you with every shot that he took. So it's better to try and fail than it is to... And by the way, failure is not failing at doing something. Failure is making an F and quitting. That's what real failure is. So you try and you work and you try and you work and you try and you work and you ask the Lord for his help. And this is something that in many ways the different aspects of her life, are even though they're not commanded, are things that can be attained through prayer and dedication. And I think the Lord can help us to do just exactly that. Like I said, is she the ideal Christian? Probably not. But she can certainly be an ideal wife and an ideal woman in her home. You see, and then that makes her able to grow into being perhaps an ideal Christian, you see. All God has to work with down here are a bunch of sinners. That's it. Doesn't have anybody down here that's sinless. Oh, except for the one guy that visited our church that time. Nobody is sinless down here. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by God's grace on our way to heaven, making the journey a good one and not quitting. And so let God use us in our imperfections to become more what we ought to be.